Knock, knock, guess who is knocking at your door? That's right, you know it's the morning for sure. Might be a geography, it could be. Maybe it's Mitterrandi. You know you love this week in Mormons, original Mormon news. If you love Lindsey Sterling, Bryce Harper in Utah, and Jell-O salad foods, oh, you're gonna love this show.
It's over! The last TWIM of 2015. This is the one. This is the one we've been waiting for.
May old acquaintance be forgot, Jeff. May all the old acquaintance you never remember.
More importantly, it's an evening of Ryan Seacrest, Anderson Cooper, and Kathy Griffin.
The women of yesteryear be forgotten. And if you are a woman, may the men that broke your hearts this year also be forgotten.
As we enter 2016, Al is once again hoping that Mrs. Doan surfaces. Where are you, Doan? Why can't I find you?
Oh, that's fair. That's fair. If you happen to know her,
maybe please, Faith Hill is your.
Please
one
do name. Not do not talk to me. Don't try and set me up. Unless Jesus himself has stepped in on this and said, "You need to meet my sister." I don't want to meet your sister.
I'm confused. What happened to Tinder? Wasn't that a thing?
Yeah, that was a big thing. That was a big thing until Vivint got a hold of it. Now that's sort of like inner office.
Wait, how did Vivint buy Tinder?
I think so. It's a communication. It's a corporate communication tool
that
now
up.
On Tinder. No, it's a corporate communication tool for Vivint now. Yeah, so they just have the whole directory, the whole company directory on there, and you just can match with other supervisors and things so that you can carry on work-related dialogue, that sort of thing.
Uh-huh, right. So Vivint and Tinder together don't yield results. Actually, one of our episodes of the show shows up. We're number 4 on the page if I type in Tinder Vivint on Google.
That's getting the right keywords, Jeff. Good work. Good work.
Well, it's the episode Vivint Guys Don't Have Children when we had
I remember
James
that.
The Mormon on.
Who's
not a rapper, apparently. That's his thing.
He's not. He's just a storyteller while music's going.
He studied folklore.
It's not so much that he can flow. It's that he likes you to provide the beat, and then he will talk a story in sort of lyrical...
Mm-hmm. In a form that involves rhyming that is not... It is not rippity-rap-rap-tastic.
Yeah.
That is a different thing.
Rimmick, yeah. Limericks. I like it.
Pass the sun chips.
So Jeff, this is going to be a little bit of a different show. We are literally recording this on New Year's Eve. We have parties waiting. Jeff has a crib to make.
Will this be the first show that crosses into multiple years?
Yes.
Oh, absolutely. My goodness.
Here comes midnight happening right now. Everybody, here we go. In 10, 9. No, just kidding. That's not yet.
It's not yet.
Jeff, as you reflect on 2015.
Yes.
What reflections do you have?
Well, the question I ask is, when will my reflection show?
Go on.
The love I have inside.
I see.
I don't know the lyric.
Help. Line?
Line. You know, reflection from Christina Aguilera. So, 2015's been a banner year, I would say. You know, fatherhood and such.
You had a baby.
On a personal level, it's been gangbusters.
So you're still doing that fatherhood thing, huh?
I'm still doing... Every week you ask me, you verify whether I still am, and I have not abandoned the family. I intend to stick this one out.
All right. If you do.
You got that, honey?
If you do, Jeff, I will buy you one Slurpees.
Cool. That is worth $1.20 or whatever. Sticking it out.
Every child that goes to college, I'll say, you done it again, you old dog. We're doing a suicide Slurpee run.
Al, come on. You really think we're still going to be friends by the time my kids are in college?
Good point, Jeff. Good point.
I hope we are. Don't make me get all sentimental.
I love you, man.
It's not what we want. So anyway, that's been the major highlight of the year. In fact, I was trying to look at my, that whole best nine thing that's going around on Instagram right now?
No.
If you check your feed, you'll probably see it. Someone built a little app. It'll read your Instagram feed if it's public and just find your nine top liked photos, make you a little grid thing of all nine of them, and you post it, and it's like, ooh, this is my year, my best things. So it's been going around. I was trying to find my top pictures, but they're all of my kid, turns out. I'm not very popular on Instagram.
That's the only ones that anybody likes.
Basically, I'll take a beautiful picture of a sunset in California or a temple with Christmas lights. Those do okay. But I post a picture of my son. Everyone's like, yep, I like that. I include my wife in the photo.
We're
talking about a 3.5 times multiplier.
Once you tag that woman, man.
But then I put myself in the photo, and we're looking at a 20% reduction.
Whoa.
So there's some tough math.
Was not expecting that.
There's some tough math here.
All right, I got my best nine.
You just did it.
Yeah. Let's see. I've got an old girlfriend in there. I've got a governor's speech I was giving. I got the World Series baseball that hit me. I have when I dressed up as an Oompa Loompa.
Mm-hmm.
A wedding of my old college roommate, my trip to Paris, and a new mural.
Curiously, none of those involve a baby.
No babies.
Interesting. Okay.
It's a good chunk of likes, though. I had a lot of likes.
You do well, buddy. What's your top
98 posts. That's one post for every 3 days. I feel like that's a good average.
That's solid.
Had a good run.
That's solid. So, I don't know. My year, it's been wonderful. And on the TWIM end of things, also very wonderful. I've had a good time with 2015. I would have to really think back on like what our shows are, like the best ones, because I have no idea. But maybe iTunes will tell me.
Let's see. What's happened in the church this year, Jeff?
I think someone got excommunicated at some point, didn't they?
We had a couple excommunications. We had a handbook snafu. We've had a couple of wins, too. You know? We've had a few good things. We had General Conference twice.
There have been a few good things.
General Conference came twice. That's really all that I had for good things.
That's it? That's really all you have?
What else was there, Jeff?
I'm looking. I'm going back to... Let's see. I gotta go back about 50-odd episodes. I'm just looking right here.
Well, I don't want you to do this on the fly. You were supposed to prepare.
John Dolin got excommunicated this year. Oh, we had a Mitt Romney staffer on the show.
We did. Yeah.
Who only hit talking points and did not like me, which was fine. Remember we had the director and the producer of Freetown on the show. That was fun.
We had a couple of movie guys on the town. One set kind of sucked. Was that them?
Everyone is equal. All good people.
No, like some of them, they didn't get our jokes and weren't entertained.
I would say we had a better time with the fine ladies behind Once I Was a Beehive.
They were fun, weren't they?
That was a fun show. We had a good time.
Did we have Tanner Christensen on this year? Was that this year?
I think Tanner was also on this year. Prospect.
That was a highlight. Prospect Molly. Prospect Molly.
That might have been over forever. We should have Tanner back. He was a fun. He was a fun guest. Slash, oh, yeah. He could drift even into co-host territory.
He really could. He was
more
good.
Than a guest. We should panelize him. He should become part of the fun. And speaking of panels, after, of course, the handbook changes in November, I very much enjoyed the show we did on that when we had
Steve and Kurt
came and joined us, and we talked about that. That was actually one of our more noble efforts, I think.
We were most noble. We really were. So here we are. Another year. We're like are we at 1,000 episodes yet? How many episodes do we have?
This is our 308th.
But if you round up to the nearest 1,000.
Then it's at 1,000. Then we're done.
Thank you.
Six years, my friend. 6 years of TWIM.
That's a lot of my life that you've taken.
And it's a lot of my life that you have taken. So it's all fair.
We've taken it together. This was originally my idea. I came to you with this idea. But you, by far... have found your place in the world of Mormon broadcasting.
I think your idea was you said we should do a podcast together.
Yeah,
and then,
right.
And I was like, all right. And we brainstormed and came up with this. So I'd say the actual show is a joint effort. But it was your idea we should do a podcast. And then as I've learned since then, you often have great ideas. And then
then I
you
run.
You don't like to see them through.
I like
after
to
I
start.
Figure it
I
out.
Do not like to maintain. Absolutely.
You say this is a great idea. Jeff, take care of it.
That's I've literally said those words.
And I'm like, oh, okay. Sometimes it works, like when we did the gospel study sesh.
Oh, you killed that.
No, amazing. No, you killed that too. That was fun. We did a good job with that. Lots of good things have happened, and we're going to have good things coming next year as well. No spoilers, folks, but I'm cooking some stuff up. We're going to hopefully have some good new content.
We got
content
some t-shirts
series.
Coming. We got some coffee mugs.
Only for coffee.
Bumper stickers. We're going to have our own roast of coffee that you can
beer
buy.
Beer cozies. Yep, lots of beer cozies.
Fair, yeah.
A cannabis farm sponsored by the show in Colorado.
Also, yeah. No, well, so it's been a good year. I'm excited.
How has your year been, though? You've had a great year. You're the small business person of the year. That was,
you know,
that had to be a highlight.
It's funny, man. It's funny to look back at a full year because I was complaining to my sister the other day, and I was like, man, I haven't hardly gotten out of the house this year. I don't think I've traveled at all. And I was like, I've only been, I went to Belize.
Oh, please. You went to Ireland this year?
Then
you went to Hong Kong?
I was in Hong Kong, Tokyo, ended up in Paris and Finland and Estonia. So I did a few.
That was all this? The Estonia trip was this year? Wow.
Yo, yeah. That was this year, Jeff. That was in June. Crazy.
Who would have thought? Lots has gone on. We are busy people, and yet we remain here.
Faithful.
Dedicated.
Our listener.
To bringing all of you the greatest in our own vanity, basically.
So there's a couple of things going on in the morning.
First off.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Your Christmas. How was Christmas? How were things? Good?
Yeah, it was nice. It was a nice Christmas. I just kind of stayed home and did my thing with family. For my mom, I got her the Foghead cutout of my face, which
where
I felt,
did you get that? Where did you get that done?
Or not Foghead, it's Fathead, fathead.com.
Okay.
And you can get a like a 2 foot by 2 foot big cutout of your head. And I felt like that was appropriate. So I gave that to my mom. And then for all of us brothers, I got Shane Doan hockey jerseys, which was very well received. And then for my sister, this was kind of entertaining. I'm an avid journaler, and I went through and made my sister a notebook of handwritten copies of all of the, not all, but like a lot of the days that she would show up in my journals from the last 25 years. And she loved it. It was very sentimental, a heartfelt
gift. It's very tender, yeah.
Yeah, no, it was good. And going through that, I was like, I found out a couple of things about my journaling. One, I was a very matter-of-fact journaler for many years. I was not interested in writing stories or telling details. I had one, and two. My mother was not the greatest mother of all time. She was my favorite mother, really a tremendous mother. But it's funny when you get to see your parents as when you're a grown-up and you say, oh. You were just trying to figure it out as you went along, too. I thought you knew everything. To see some of those, I had one great journal entry where I said, today I gave my brother a Melvin and mom yelled at me. I feel terrible. And
I think
this was on Halloween and I was maybe a 12-year-old. And a Melvin, I had to be reminded what this was. That's where you give a wedgie from the front.
Yeah.
From the front. Yeah. Front wedgie. And mom was very upset. I remember this distinctly. And that was my Halloween journal entry. I just needed to say I gave my brother a Melvin as though I would still know what that was in 20 years. And mom was really ticked and I felt bad.
Well, you should. Well, that's good.
Today,
I'm glad you had a great...
Today, I gave my brother a Melvin. Mom yelled at me. Oh, that was entertaining.
You're a terrible person, but I still love you.
Anyway, Melvins are a thing of the past. Do not give your brothers Melvins. Any of you children listening to this show right now,
don't do it.
Stay away from that. That's a tender area.
I am, I am excited to be back here in the D.C. area. We had a wonderful time visiting beautiful California, but all good things must come to an end. And now we're back here. It's been very dead at my office this week. Usually we get back on New Year's Eve, but this year I had a few more days here. It's kind of fun to go to work when, like, nobody else is showing up, literally. Like, I was sat alone in a room most of the afternoon today.
Just like high school all over again. Hey-o!
Hey!
What's up? All right, there we go.
And with that, let us get to some Mormon-y content.
Enough about Jeff's prom. Let's go to Mormon news.
My prom my senior year was excellent.
I'm sure it was.
It was outstanding. I didn't want to get it. I drove my minivan because I didn't want to get a limo. So we, the kids, all piled
in
the minivan.
Your mom had four kids.
Yeah.
I guess
so I drove, I took the caravan out, probably listened to some ska or something on the way down.
The Mighty Mighty Boss Tones?
It very well might have been. Maybe some voodoo close balls, maybe.
Never had to knock on wood, but I know someone who has.
My buddy jumped in the pool. It was a delightful prom. It was everything you'd see in a teen movie. made for the church.
Right. Well, we are not going to do the sheer abundance of stories. We actually have a lot of stories that we will run
there's
through and mention.
Probably, yeah. There's more than we can hit, but we'll get on.
But we would like to grab one or two and just focus on a couple for this New Year's celebration, people, and we'll have you out of here in no time to celebrate with your family and your friends and forget those old acquaintances.
I think this show might be our most. This might be our most downloaded show ever.
It probably will be.
Yeah.
So obviously, there's one, Jeff, that I know you were excited to chit chat about, but people are very upset over a graphic in the New Era. This is somebody. So there's the New Era, obviously the middle magazine of the church for teens. Is that fair? It's just for teens, right?
Yeah. Well, that's what it is. It's the The Mutual Age magazine.
So they have an image in here, and they're saying they have a picture of two women, and one is a giver and one is a getter. And they're trying to articulate the difference between when you go to church, if you are a getter, all you focus on is you and how will this help me and how will this be my thing. And if you're a giver, you're obviously the one that Jesus loves more, and your attitude is, how can I help? How can I love? How can I lift? How can I do good things? Now the intent, I can appreciate. The execution here, definitely fell flat.
Yeah, because I don't feel, and everything is sort of there's sort of a converse of one another, right? So it shows, for example, the getter thinks, what will I gain by attending church? And the giver thinks, how does my attendance at church show my devotion to the Lord? So she's thinking about God. But I don't think it's wrong to say, what do I gain by attending church? Because we sell the whole notion of coming to church as, this is how you stand to benefit by coming to church with us.
No, that's not true.
We do. It's not, I mean, I understand the way they're trying to make it look like it's selfish, but all these are just kind of, I think it's stretching
getter,
sometimes.
The getter says, how will a mission help me? The giver says, where is a mission one?
Like, well, it's
in what ways will I be
spot.
Able to serve others on a mission? Like, that's a legitimate one, right? They're trying to
fair.
Say, how will, but if you look at a mission as how, what are you going to get out of it? You really come out on the bottom. Well,
yeah,
financially, you lose, in every way you're going to lose. The only way you're going to get on a mission to be happy is if you look at it in what ways will I be able to serve others on a mission? And then the blessings flow and it benefits you. So that's sort of the premise that they're trying to go with. But there are a lot of them like, what blessings will I receive from a temple marriage? We've asked that question before. That's not it necessarily being a getter, but how will a temple marriage give an opportunity to serve my spouse and my children? Maybe a better way of asking that question. Sure, I get it. Good.
Yeah. So. And some are more cut and dry. Like, what recognition will I receive by serving in this calling? That one's fair, because we shouldn't take callings because we're looking for the praise of those around us, right? But it's interesting, even the way they've depicted these women, though. I mean,
that's where this article takes a lot of its beef is.
Yeah, you could argue that the getter is decidedly a little more fashionable. It's funny.
She's a good-looking woman.
Like, what are they trying to say with her bob, her striking blue eyes, the fact that her skirt is barely past her knees, where I've seen people comment on this, whereas the giver is wearing what can clearly be like a young woman's medallion. Her skirt goes down to midway down her calf. Well, she's carrying scriptures, clearly.
The premise
like, it's clearly a scripture tote.
The premise here is that one is more righteous than the other, right? That's sort of what's being conveyed. Well, that's definitely what's being conveyed. And so this article goes through and says, what message is trying to be conveyed by the getter's shoulders being squared with confidence and the givers are rounded and less self-assured? Because the giver is standing pigeon-toed and all sort of meek and lowly.
Yeah.
What is to be said by the giver having a scripture case and the getter does not have her scriptures? What is being conveyed by the giver wearing a young man's medallion and the getter is not? What message is being conveyed by the giver smiling and the getter is not smiling? The getter's skirt is just below the knees and the giver's skirt is almost to the ankles and a long-sleeved shirt. You know, all this kind of stuff, which is, I mean, it's just to a point where, you know, for the church, like, it's hard to put something out there like this and say, you know, you want to be the more righteous version. You want to be the better one here and not the one like this that what they've depicted is the self-assured, fashion-forward, like, fashionable haircut, you know, smart-looking woman. You need to be the, because this is essentially, I mean, this is that would be the feminist, as you would, if you looked at this and said, which one of these women is going to be a feminist, you would pick the getter, and the giver would be, for lack of a better word, homeschooled.
You were homeschooled.
I know. That's why I can say it. I can only say that, Jeff. You can't say that.
We can call people this, but you can't.
No, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's just like, that's what's funny about it. It's, I know that you wouldn't want to draw the same person and then just show the give and the get, but you got to, there's so much to read into.
Well, and it's funny because when we were kids, they would have done the same thing, but it would have been a girl with like, purple hair spiked and a nose ring, and that would have been the getter.
Yeah.
And even that, though, I mean, I feel like we're slowly moving to a point where we're saying, where like we need to be conscious of not excluding people because of how they look or, you know, not trying to draw distinctions where we say, oh, yeah, yeah. No, if they have a second set of earrings, then they're definitely not the good giver kind of people. They're the getters. You know, you want to stay away from that. And so, New Era, help us. Help this conversation. Don't hurt it, please.
Yeah. There's one point at the bottom where they said they showed this to their daughter, and they said, what do you think of this? And she's like, well, the one on the left, the getter, is thinking about ways to improve herself, and the one on the right is thinking about ways to improve others. So a lot of people are asking, can't we be both? Can't I be a getter and a giver? I mean, Al, you're a getter. You're a businessman. Are you always thinking altruistically and how you can help others? Or are you thinking
always,
about
absolutely
how...
always. Yeah, no, I never think of myself. Yeah, totally. Well, that actually, if that's the response that somebody was able to get out of that, I actually think that's a valid response because the intent.
Can't we be both?
Well, no, but that's not. I mean, there's an element of that, but when you're going to church and you're focusing on like seeing people as Christ sees them. Very rarely are you trying to, I mean, and you should, but you're not, the purpose isn't for you to look at yourself as Christ looks at you, which actually, now that I'm saying that, maybe it should be, but the purpose is to look at others and reach out and serve others, not to, you don't go to church to bless yourself, you go to bless others, and then you are blessed, and that's sort of the testimony and the faith that's paid back as you go through it. And if you,
that is true.
And if you go for your own blessings, you will be disappointed.
Undoubtedly,
to be completely candid, as I have been for years past, and you know, as you get in those ruts of you're just going to fulfill your duty, you should notice the value that you get out of church diminishes dramatically. And then as you kind of dive back into a calling or start showing up and being interested in others, your enjoyment of church goes up again.
It's very true. You feel such a high when you're in that zone, when you're just like busy at church, taking care of stuff and not even thinking about yourself. It's like the mood that accompanies it is distinctive.
Delightful.
In my mind. It really is. Yeah. So you can be a giver, but sometimes you have to get.
You can be happy if you let yourself be. Bum, 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 bum.
So here is one that I thought was hilarious, and sadly it has been pulled from Craigslist, but never you fear. The fine folks at Channel 13 in Utah, KUTV, sorry, Channel 2, whatever,
Kutva,
have found the original posting, and
this is funny.
Know who originally posted it, but I think this is a crack up. It's a Craigslist posting. I wish it had. It's like 5 days old, too, so clearly it sat there until today. And I will read it to you because it is brief. The listing is called LDS Mission Call Trade. Looking to find someone with a foreign LDS mission call that does not want to go foreign. I have a stateside one to Chicago, Spanish-speaking, that I will trade you. If we are both willing to trade, I bet there is a way to talk to the mission presidents or someone and get our calls traded. Please, I need this. I love it. I think it's funny. Which is a big bump. Oh, what a...
They posted their text messages to the guy, and he's like, "What? You did a story on it? Not cool."
Nope. Well, then they said it wasn't serious. It's a joke, and it's a woman wrote it. She said it was a mistake. I was being dumb when I did it.
You posted your name, a contact email, a phone number. That's how we contact you. It was a mistake. I was being dumb.
Well, no, it's Craigslist. You can, you know, just email the contact. You know, you can just.
No, I get in their text to him. He's like, "How'd you? How did you know it was me?" And they were like, "You put your phone number, name, and email address in the posting." So I said, "Contact Andy at blah, blah, blah." It's very entertaining.
And so I've really enjoyed the comments from this on our page, too. It's been pretty fun on Facebook. Some people taking it very seriously about how like upsetting this is, you know. That how this person just does not understand it. How dare they? But you know that ad when the old woman says, like, I'm unfriending you?
No.
And the other one said, and it says, like, that's not how this works. That's not how any of this works.
No,
it's like old women
that.
Trying to talk. They're trying to talk like social media.
Okay.
But in person. Someone shared that. It was well done. It was funny. It all made sense. It was great.
Well, good. Anyway, oh, that's exciting.
That was the bit of humor for the day that I thoroughly enjoyed. We should recreate these all the time. Let's just post them all over the country and see which ones go viral.
Oh, that's not how it works. Oh, that's funny. That is delightful.
You have to see the video.
Okay. See, the one other one that I was entertained by is there's an article on the mormonworker.net. There's a lot of little Mormon blog things out there. It says
For the uninitiated, the Mormon Worker is basically a straight-up, like, communist Mormon blog.
Communist?
Basically.
So the article is How Socialism Helped Save the Mormon Church.
Sure.
I feel like this is relevant rhetoric because we are, I mean, I think on whole, Republicans, which is a majority of the church, I would dare say, are afraid of the word socialism. They use it as a very derogatory term. We sometimes forget that our roots are socialist and our future is also socialist. If not communist, probably more socialist.
Well, sort of, but remember, there've been a lot of talks about how, you know, the law of consecration was not communism.
Yeah, but I feel like that's trying to put lipstick on a pig a little bit.
Well, aren't the differences that communism, of course, is a forced state, you know, system, whereas law of consecration we do voluntarily. Though I understand that if it's one of God's commandments, how voluntary is it?
But the law of consecration voluntarily, like if you are part of the community and you volunteered not to do it, you are no longer part of the community.
Yes.
Right? Like that's sort of, I mean, it's sort of, there
it's
are
basically
there are
a homeowners association.
It's not completely fair to call it, you know, to talk of the law of consecration as communism. But you would, if it's not communism, it's definitely socialism.
It's communalism at the very least. Yeah. I mean, it's very close. I agree with you. It's shared resources
and I feel
and
like
shared ownership.
I mean, if we have the faith that we should, that this is a world that is coming. There should be many of us, myself included, that should be very, very worried about how uncomfortable it will feel to land ourselves in that world where all of a sudden we are in a socialist regime, so to speak, because we have built a world on being against it. And so kind of fun to read an article to remind us of, like,
What did the article say, though? We haven't even talked about the article.
Well, the article just touches back on, like, the early days where Brigham Young, sort of, like, as they got into Utah, he was like, all right, everybody, guess what? We're common law everything. Everything comes into the storehouse. And if you don't bring all of your corn into the storehouse to be meted out as is appropriate, you're getting excommunicated. Like, this is a big deal. And people were sold on it, and it became, I mean, that essentially the argument in this article is that saved the church. And I would actually suspect that is true, that the communal, like, the people that had a really good crop and the people that had a really bad crop were actually given the same amount of food to eat that winter, and there was no poor among them, as best as they were able to figure that out, and that was a good thing.
Here's a good line, though, in it. The Book of Mormon condemns the basic principles that form the foundation of a capitalist economic system.
It doesn't. It also...
Korihor, one of the great villains of the Book of Mormon, tried to trick people into thinking that every man fared in this life according to the management of the creature, therefore every man prospered according to his genius.
Oh, it does highlight some of the dangers, but I'll be darned if it doesn't highlight a couple of great capitalist principles in there as well. As a staunch capitalist, I must defend my people.
Yeah, I think that's fine. I think there's a mix. And obviously the church nowadays is quite capitalist, but with elements of social welfare. It's just that we do it a bit differently than we used to. But it's all still there. I mean, like, I think the welfare initiatives of the church are incredibly impressive and very well done. And thankfully we're in a place now as a church where we don't need everyone to gather together all of their grain. And as the article says,
we'll be back there, man. It'll come back.
Yeah, but it might not be the same way. Like, there's a scholar here in the article that basically says, many people were, like, unhappy, or, you know, they didn't have much, or they were sick, but nobody went hungry. Everybody was poor, but nobody starved.
Back then,
that was a good thing, as opposed to how would it be if you're trying to build this society in the Great Basin, and the haves come in and just do whatever they want, and then you've got, you know, it wouldn't work out. How else are you going to build a society if you don't corral everything together? But of course we do it differently today, but sure. I'll go along and say socialism saved the early church and allowed it to get roots in Utah.
Thank you, Jeff. All right,
theocratic socialism.
Now we are going to go through, this is my favorite part, we're going to call this the Minute to Win It Guy Fieri edition.
Oh boy.
Very quickly, we've got a couple of mentions here that are going to be fun. Taysom Hill was the BYU quarterback. After Bronco left and took all of his staff with him to Virginia, he then offered Taysom Hill a spot at UVA. So if you thought that Taysom, or that Bronco was Mormon first, coach second, you were wrong. He has taken one from the church school of the Lord. Taysom, say no.
All right. Fair enough. Another quick mention here, since we're doing mentions. Spanish language standard works have been updated. This happens from time to time. The church updates the scriptures, mostly just for punctuation, content, organizational stuff, what have you. And so, the Spanish language standard works have received a few updates, some light grammar. Most of it comes from the study of the scriptures, the scripture guide that's in there. Punctuation, lots of other fixes, new appendices, new maps, new photos. A lot of stuff to kind of bring the make it a little more well-rounded. So that happened.
Neato.
Yeah.
In January, The Friend will start adding a 10-page section for little junior children. Little babies. I'm assuming it'll all be blank pages to trace your handprint on. Looking forward to that.
In another quick bit of news here, LDS.net... the not official, official weird outpost of the church, not the church, whatever, posted a thing about the Mormon guide to Starbucks. How Mormons, of course, can actually go to Starbucks
boring.
And not sin.
They list as one of the drinks for Mormons to get milk, 2% milk.
Here's the thing. Is this like native advertising?
Cup of water. If you're more,
they actually go through Starbucks menu and hyperlink to all of the items in the menu. Like, this is one big shill for Starbucks.
Yeah.
Starbucks had better be paying for this space. Emma Price wrote it. I believe you should marry her.
Also, Dietrich Uchtdorf went to visit Tijuana, and he spent a holiday with the Archbishop. Romo Munoz.
Her most recent achievement is getting married. You cannot marry the author of Starbucks. I'm sorry. What did Dieter do in TJ?
Nope, your time's done.
Did he buy prescription drugs for cheap?
Also, there's an article.
Did he go to the dentist?
There's an article that argues that the birth rate dropping in Utah, because it's dropping across the nation, but dramatically in Utah, is because female missionaries, and they are starting their families later and having fewer kids. Causality or not, you be the judge.
Yeah, or it could have been, and I think the bigger issue is probably, you know, the economic crash and people living with their parents and not getting married or getting married later and trying to get financial
security.
Could
be any number of two things, yeah.
It could be any of these things. Well, that's exciting. What's that going to mean for Utah? I mean, come on. And, well, of course, the funny thing is, while Utah's birth rate has dropped, it's still the highest in the United States.
Yeah, it's dropped from like 7 to 5. We're not in danger.
It used to be 12.3 kids per family. Now, much lower. Okay, here's something little mentiony, but a little bit longer than that. So I had a follower, at least on Facebook, Charles. I don't know if you listen to the show, but if you do, this is for you. So Charles writes us on Facebook and says, don't know if there's a way to find this out, but I've heard that the Star Valley, Wyoming temple is way ahead of schedule because they want to make sure it's done before President Monson passes away. Okay, so that's conjecture. Now, I wrote back and I said, like, well, I haven't heard much about President Monson, like, having a thing for Star Valley or anything. This isn't like, you know, putting a temple in where all the widows' houses used to be or something in Salt Lake City.
Marceline,
I don't know.
Yeah.
But I forgot that when they announced the temple in October 2011, President Monson did say, I think I'll dedicate that one. There's good fishing up there. So from an off-the-cuff remark by a lucid President Monson, apparently that means they have to rush the thing because they want President Monson
to go fishing. What makes us think that they're rushing it? What if they just had good weather?
They could have, but I will say that. They only broke ground for it in, I want to say, April. And it's like, it's flying as far as, if you look at the construction photos.
To be fair, they could have, like, all the, it could be Extreme Makeover Home Edition up there. They have all the people that would volunteer to do that work themselves.
They might have. But either way, you see a lot of temples that only broke ground 8 months ago. And they take their sweet time. This one, most of the exterior is already done.
Speaking of the exterior being done, Sapporo, Japan. Its exterior is also done. Looking good, temple. Almost there.
So do you think that they would rush to complete a temple before President Monson passes
away? No, I don't
think
that's a thing. I think that's, really? I think that is a crazed lunatic sending us messages on Facebook.
Happy New Year, Charles.
This man has clearly lost his marbles.
Oh, another quick mention here, folks. Missionaries in New Zealand created their own haka.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Is it a haka of love, or are they still like going to rip your head off and pee down your throat, which is a traditional haka?
There might be some of that, yeah. I've heard that hakas are actually, some missions in New Zealand don't allow haka. Some do. It's like mate in Argentina. Right. What's the rule? It's like vodka in Ukraine. Some missionaries
No, it's like capoeira in Brazil.
Are there a lot of missionaries doing capoeira in Brazil? They're just flying around.
I feel like there should be. Or kickboxing in Thailand. That's a thing. They do their routines.
And <It's> Muay Thai.
Anyway,
they do a haka because they're missionaries. And apparently, in this day and age, missionaries don't need to spend time studying the gospel or knowing how to talk to people.
No, Jeff, they're doing a cool thing. They're doing a haka. It's great.
Is the haka converting people?
Don't
it looks
be
like
a
they
hater.
Did it
be
in
a
their
lover.
Apartment. I am going to be a hater because you are always the hater on the show, and I want to fill your shoes. Oh, this is the worst. How dare you, people, read something?
All right, everybody.
Monster.
I'm going to send you off.
We got one more. One more.
What do you have?
The church and maternity leave.
I've heard of it. Go on.
So this is a whole Washington Post article. A lot of stuff in here. Only a few mentions of the church. So it definitely makes us want to read more. And unfortunately, they call us the Church of the Latter-day Saints, which is incorrect. But paid maternity or family leave is unusual in the church. Basically, you know, because of the Medical Leave Act, you get 12 weeks of unpaid leave. But as far as we know, the church itself does not actually offer paid maternity, which is very interesting to me. I could see both sides of it. It's like, well, you love families, why aren't we paying for maternity leave? On the flip side, we could be like, hey, we love families, mom, don't be working in the first place.
I wonder if I pay for maternity leave. I don't think I do.
I want to look into, you should look into the benefits you offer. You should offer transit benefits because nobody out in Missouri uses public transit, just so you can say you do it.
Be like, anytime you come on a bus, I'll pay for your pass.
You'll give them a tax, you know, the pre-tax account to take public transportation.
Yeah, it's hard because when you get into the church's world of like business decisions and trying to be competitive in the workplace, which is why benefits are even offered,
that makes you less competitive though not to offer.
Well, sure, but if they have no problem filling their job roles, which I would suspect that they don't,
probably don't.
Then why spend more money where you don't need to? That is the capitalist speaking. If we were communists like Brigham Young,
sure,
we would definitely offer paid maternity leave, so to speak.
I would think so. I think it's interesting. I don't really know what the normal answer would be from a church perspective, just because I know we want to encourage mothers not to work in the first place. Is this just the way to try to get them to avoid being in the workforce? Say, well, you can take time off your kid, but we're not going to pay. Think about it. Well, we try to be neutral about it, but at the end of the day, mother's role is in the home, and we believe that. And of course, there are women working for the church, but we've never gone to great lengths, I think, to accommodate. I mean, come on. They only were allowed to, what, start wearing pants or stop wearing tights like 4 years ago?
I would have been
dead. You still had to wear pantyhose, even in the summertime. It's ridiculous. It's like Pleasantville working there in the church office building, folks.
Yeah, that's
soon everyone's going to be in.
That's
color.
A weird spot because women absolutely have a place in the workforce, especially in a thing like the church, where a lot of the roles in there, I think, are probably better filled by women than they would be by men.
Oh, well, that's a slippery slope.
No, roles that require maybe the like a female conjecture on execution, things like. There should be roles in every magazine or every panel or every department in there that are filled by women, so you have a woman's voice. Jeff, you ever think about that?
I hire people just based on how good they are. I don't care what you are, an alien. Doesn't matter to me. If you know what
I absolutely think that there is a that you should actively be pursuing qualified candidates that are of a diverse background. Yes. There's something lost when it's a room full of great middle-aged
There's nothing
white
lost.
Men,
look at the
Quorum
of the 12. Nothing lost, Al. Nothing lost.
Look at the ward councils. We changed them. Booyah.
I think we're doing just fine.
All right. Well, church, we'd love to see you lead the pack and go start paying maternity leave. If you do it, I'll do it. Challenge accepted.
Should write them a letter.
Jeff, I hope you have a delightful New Year's Eve this evening.
Oh, it's coming.
I hope that this... Oh, is it coming?
Yeah, we're like, what are we? The countdown's coming, and we got 27 seconds.
Oh my god! Well, we should wait at least for the
yeah. But in the meantime, folks, social media, be there with us, all of it. We're there.
Yeah, contact at thisweekinmormons.com. Thisweekinmormons.com.
16.
Come leave a note, some sort of a comment.
Here we go. 10.
In
9.
10. 8. 9.
7.
6.
6.
5. 4.
4.
Three, two, one. Happy New Year!
Year!
May old acquaintances be forgotten. I feel like I'm saying that a lot.
I feel different now. I physically feel different.
Well, you're winded. You spoke a lot.
I spoke a lot. The cheering for the new year, my asthma, it's all kind of... Stacking up against me right now. Here's to 2016, right, everybody.
Happy 2016. Have a great year, Jeff.
You too. I'll talk to you next year, buddy.
All right. See you in 2017.
All right. We're taking a year off, everybody. Or are we? Have a good year. Happy New Year.